Well, it's good to see everyone today. I am so thankful to be here. Even my family was at first service today, and I love it because all my girls are with me. I have four girls, my wife and three girls, and I am a dad that knows how to do girl things. I even have a girly dog, a Yorkie poo, so I've lost all my manhood, all right? So my manhood is when I get to sit and watch a football game on Sunday, and they allow me to watch at least one game a week and be able to regain that once in a while, because I can French braid better than most girls. I can paint toenails and fingernails. Is that good stuff right now? Come on, Dad, step it up, all right? Come on. Now, I can't tell you it looks pretty when I'm done, but it's braided, and I can't tell you, I stayed with on the toenail. Sometimes I go on the toes, and I have some artistic value to it, you know? So I'm a dad of girls, and my girls are with me this visit. No, not visit. We are firmly planted here in our home, and now Hawaii is our home now. And so I'm so thankful. You know, when you move, it's a little stressful because you get into a house and then you have boxes up to your eyeballs. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And sometimes your stress goes up to your eyeballs as well. And you're like, oh my goodness, I got it. And I'm telling you, I've been working on one box and I feel like another box just appears in that place. They don't go away and they just keep on appearing. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be done. Just throw things away. Have you ever felt that way? Just throw it away. I'm that kind of guy. Just get out of it. Get it. Throw it in the trash. I don't give it away. I don't care. But we are just so grateful to be here. You know, it's not just me visiting, me speaking, or me just coming over for a short visit. It's our whole family here now. And we now get to call this home. I love home. Amen. And so today I would love to open the Word of God, and I want to share with you something the Lord put on my heart. As Pastor Wayne was kind of giving me direction, the Lord spoke to me to share with you. But I'd like for you to grab your Bibles. If you have your Bible here, and if you don't, that's okay. Just open your heart today. If you don't, grab your phone, and maybe that's where your Bible is, or your iPad, or whatever you have. But grab it right now, and I'd like for you to hold it in your hands, because I believe that the Word of God today wants to do something special in us. As we open the Word of God, it's alive. And so you're going to see me. I get very excited when I get to speak about God's Word. Because it's not just words, it's His love letters to us that will transform our lives as we continue to read God's Word. And so as we open it, let's allow God to transform us so that we leave tonight different than what we came in as. God wants to take us from glory to glory each time we spend time in His presence. I always tell people this, you don't play basketball without a basketball or go tennis without tennis rackets, and we don't go to church or to spend time with God without His Word, amen? And so let's open God's Word tonight, but let me pray for you so that the Lord can do something new in all of us. Jesus, we thank You for this day, and we just pray that You would do something new in us. Lord, we just want to become more like You and less like ourselves. Lord, our sin nature has just dirtied us down and made us nothing like You, but God, Your Word and who You are and how You've transformed us. Lord, You're continuing to take us from glory to glory. And so, Lord, I pray right now that this would be a time as we open Your Word that we become more like You, Jesus. We thank You that You love us so much that You died for our lives. And so, Lord, we offer our lives to You today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, inside your bulletins, we have teaching notes there. Pull that out because this will be your guide through today as we go through the Word. And I want to talk to you about Jesus never fails. Who here has had a friend that has failed you before? And come on, raise your hand. All right. We have those fair weather friends. They'll come through once in a while but fail you in other times. But Jesus will never fail you. You know, one thing that I love about this year is we get to step into the new year, 2013. Go ahead and say that, 2013. You got to keep saying that over and over, because I know if you're anything like me, you'll write 2012 until about July, and then you'll finally transfer over. I don't know why I do that. But 2013, and we all are going to step into this, and most of us, if not all of us, will make a New Year's resolution. I want to start doing this more. I want to become better at this. One resolution I want to encourage you on is do your life journaling. January 1 is a great time to jump right into it. It's the fresh year, and you can get on track and go throughout the whole year to spend time with Jesus every day. But we make these resolutions, and I heard of one resolution that was quite funny. A young boy went up to his daddy and says, "Daddy, what is your New Year's resolution?" And the daddy goes, "Son, New Year's resolution is to do everything possible in this new year to make your mother happy." Well, the little boy got a smile on his face and said, "Oh, that's neat, Daddy." So he went to Mommy and he said, "Mom, what is your New Year's resolution?" And she goes, "I'm going to do everything possible to make sure your father keeps his New Year's resolution." I always say this, if Mama ain't happy, what? No one's happy. If you don't know that motto, you need to learn it right now, okay? Because Mama needs to be happy. But why do we make these resolutions anyways? Why do we do this? We make them because there are areas in our lives we are either unhappy with or we want to do better in, okay, and improve. That's why many people, you go 24-hour fitness or any other gyms, they have an influx of membership at January 1. Why? Because everybody wants to improve their look, lose weight, build muscle, look better, okay? And so we make that decision because we want to improve ourselves. They did a few survey a few years back, and the number one resolution for Americans is to what? Lose weight. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand for that one, okay? Because you don't need to answer. But I this Christmas, I put on a couple pounds. I ate like a madman, okay? I thought, well, this is good food. We had really good food this Christmas. And I was just eating and eating. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, and I'm paying the price now, okay? So I know that losing weight is most Americans' resolution January 1. It reminds me of this wife that she comes into the bathroom and she looks at her husband. And he was on the scale, and he was sucking in his gut really hard to see, you know, and while he's weighing himself. And she goes, "Honey, sucking in your gut is not going to help you lose weight. It's not going to help you at all." And he goes, "Yes, it is, because if I don't suck in my gut, I won't see the numbers below." You know, this is funny, but it's true, right? This is one of those few times that everybody, believer and non-believer alike, are going to be doing the exact same thing at the exact same time. Leaving one place and going into another. Leaving one place, which is 2012, and stepping into 2013. None of us have a choice. We all have to do it. You don't get a choice to stay into 2012. It goes bye-bye. And then you step into 2013 at the same time with everybody else. And so I want to look at that, and how do you leave one place and you step into another? And I have three things here that I want to fill out that you can take home with you and to chew on a little bit so that you can allow God to do a complete work in you as you digest this word and apply it to your life. Number one is this, about 2012. Leave it completely. Leave it completely. Let it go in the 2012 chapter of your life. You don't need to take it into 2013. I love how Pastor Wayne says, you don't need to take the trophies into 2013. You'll clutter up your shelf. Allow God to do a new work in you and a new thing in 2013. You don't need to take your garbage from 2012 into 2013. Allow God to do a complete work in you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If 2012 really is a year of completion for you, don't you think you should learn to leave some things completely? Leave it completely. If it's a year of completion, then completely leave it there. Don't take it in with you. Let it go and allow God to do a new work. I believe, as Pastor Wayne has very clearly communicated, and as God has opened the door and has kind of forced us through, that we are stepping into the second chapter of New Hope, chapter 2. This is a time the Lord is doing a new work in us. But if we continue to hold on, that no, I like chapter 1 better. There's great things about chapter 1, but there's greater things to come in chapter 2. Can I hear an amen on that? And so if we keep on focusing on that, then we will never focus on what God has before us. The Lord wants us to look ahead, not look behind. You can't run a race by having your head back this way the whole time. You got to look forward to what the Lord has before you. You know, I always believe as we continue to talk about our walk with God, I know about walking is one thing. It's forward motion. God wants us to walk forward in what we do and who we are in Him. He wants forward motion in your life. He doesn't want you to backpedal and go backwards. He wants you to go forward into the promises of God. never go back into the past, but to go forward into the promises. And so that's the first thing. Leave it completely. Let it go. Let's let 2012 stay in 2012 and embrace 2013. Well, what are some of the things that we need to let go of? You might be asking yourself, well, I don't know. What are some of the things? Number one, I think we need to let go of some resentment in our lives and allow it to stay in 2012. You know, resentment, if you don't let resentment go in your life, it's going to turn into unforgiveness. And in unforgiveness, if unforgiveness is not dealt with, as Pastor Wayne communicated earlier, it turns into bitterness. And bitterness will set roots into your life, and roots are sometimes hard to get out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, growing up, I remember working with my dad and my brother to pull out trees, and we would have to get down, and I hated those root systems. I remember one time we had this, we called them spider trees, and they had a lot of spiders in them, a lot of green. I hated them then. And we wanted to pull it out of the ground, and we chopped it down, and we didn't know how far the root systems went down. These are those kind of trees in Southern California. If a nuclear bomb went off, they would still be living and green in Southern California. Well, we got it chopped down. We dug all around it. We still couldn't get those roots out of the ground. We got a truck, my brother-in-law's truck. We put a chain around it, and we, this is ridiculous. We got a chain, and then he said, "Ready, here we go." He gassed it up and went. The bumper came off with that chain. I'm sitting there as a kid thinking that was the greatest thing in the whole world. Man, it was awesome. Eventually, after 6 hours of trying to pull this thing out of the ground, we finally got it with all its root system. See, that's what it is. If we don't allow a resentment to stay in our past, then it turns into unforgiveness, then into bitterness, and then it corrupts your life. And then you become a different person, not more like Jesus, the opposite of Jesus. And we're called to allow that resentment to stay behind us. Amen? We're also called to leave the worries behind us. The worries. You know, worries will kill you. You know, I don't know about you, but I sometimes, well, the Lord just has to deal with my worrisome. You might be, and on the outside, you look like you're cool, calm, and collective, but there's times when the enemy will just hit you right where you're at. You know, worry is like an old rocking chair. You know, they give you something to do, but they'll never take you anywhere while you're doing it. You're just going back and forth, never making progress. You know, when we made the decision, Pastor Wayne called me in August, and we were praying and processing about coming to Hawaii. And my first response is because he asked me, "James, what do you want to do for the next 15 to 20 years of your life?" I said, "I just want to reach as many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and see them come to meet Jesus as the Lord and Savior." And that's what my answer was. I couldn't come up with some really elaborate, you know, spiritual answer. That was it. And he goes, "That's great." And so we started praying, and we answered the call to go to Hawaii. We were praying on our knees, and, "Lord, this is it. We're ready to go." And then about a month and a half into this decision, I called Pastor Wayne and said, "What are we doing? We're leaving Southern California. We're leaving our whole family. We just resigned our church where I was the senior pastor, and I'm a nobody. I'm just kind of floundering here. What are we doing? I don't know. Do we make the mistake?" And he looked at me. Thank God for grace and a leader like Pastor Wayne. He said, "James, who are you going to trust?" I'll tell you, that hit me right in the heart. I went quiet on the phone. I felt like I made a stupid decision by complaining. But second of all, I realized I wasn't trusting Jesus. I was trusting me. I wanted to be in control, and I wanted it my way. I wanted my way, my way, my way. And I wanted to have it this way because I was worrying about what tomorrow might bring rather than trusting in the Lord. See, 2013, God wants to mark something in your life as a year of trust. Not trust in man, not trust in government, not trust even in family, but trust in the Lord. You know, in the Word of God, it never says to trust anybody else other than Jesus. So you know what? People will let you down, but Jesus will never fail you. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. Never. See, my wife will fail me. Yes, she will. And I can't say this in the first service because she was there, okay? But I can say this in the second one, the third, and on, because she won't be there, all right? But she'll fail me, and she'll let me down, and I will let her down. But where's my trust? See, I'm called to love my wife as Christ loves the church, but I'm called to trust in Jesus. And that is a thing the Lord wants to mark our year coming up in front of us. So leave your worries behind. Leave your worries behind. The third thing here under this point is to leave your failures behind. Your failures behind. We try so hard to be the best we can in everything we do, and you won't always succeed. Now, let me ask an honest question, and I need your participation, all right? Who here in 2012, you failed at something? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Now, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. You know, last service, Pastor Wayne did not raise his hand, okay? And I had to publicly correct him. I couldn't believe it. Oh, Pastor Wayne, come on. All right. Everybody, put your hand up if you failed in 2012. Look around. Just look around. This is encouraging. We're all failures, okay? We're a room full of failures here, okay? But you don't get defined by your failures. See, failure develops something inside of you. See, the Lord is developing your character in those points of failure if you trust in Him. See, this is the greatest thing. And we get to leave those failures behind as we move into the promises of God. You know, our bodies and everything we do renews itself. It's just like what God is calling us to daily do, renew ourselves. See, if we allow ourselves to stay in our failure, then we stay and are defined by that. But daily, the Lord has called us to renew ourselves in Him. That's when we come into contact with Him in our devotions, in our time of worship, in times of service. As we come here, as we would serve one another, come and worship the Lord, we're being renewed in our spirit, renewed in the Lord. As we open the Word of God every morning, we're being renewed. See, we're called to renew ourselves every day, so we're not being defined by our failures, but being renewed into the promises of God. Amen? Amen. Just like your body. Now, I read in Pastor Wayne's book that he just wrote, Jesus Pure and Simple. Stanford did a study, and they said this, that your skin, your body renews itself all the time, but your skin, your outer shell, it renews itself every 7 days. Now, think about this. Your skin is flaking off all the time. And so it's all over the place. So your house, you see the dust on your furniture? It's your fault. It's your skin, okay? All right, so you might be saying, it's just so dirty in here. It's your fault, okay? And if you have a lot of people in your house, it's your family's fault, okay? And you got probably more dust in there because it's your skin falling off. But it's renewing itself. Our whole body renews itself every 7 years. So how much more should we renew ourselves in the Lord so we're not being defined in our mind by our failures, but we're being renewed in our minds in who we are in Christ. Amen? This is the key, because in 2013, if you truly want it to be a new year in your life, be renewed in Jesus. Be renewed in Jesus. You know, the Israelites didn't always get this. They would make mistakes all the time. They would seek the Lord, they would live in His promises, and they would make mistakes and then live in the punishment of that. You know, it says here, open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. I'm just going to go ahead and read it out loud. If you're speedy, if you're really good at finding your Bible chapters and books, good for you. But right now, it says here in 1 Kings 8, 33 and 34, it says, when your people Israel have been defeated by enemies because they sinned against you, and when they turn to you and confess your name, then you will hear from heaven and you will forgive their sins and bring them back to the land of their forefathers, into the promises of God. When we as a nation or an individual have strayed from Jesus, we will find failure in our lives when we stray away from Him. But when we press in and go back into Jesus and renewed in Christ daily, there's restoration that takes place. And God is a God of restoration. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Let 2013 be a year of restoration in your life. Let Him restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Let us be a church going into the second chapter of our lives here at New Hope, be a church that's so on fire for Jesus, the world would know of what God is doing here because of a renewed joy that takes place in us, a renewed purpose in us, that we would know that we're not just come to just observe what's happening in the body of Christ, but to participate in what God is doing in the body of Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. This is what the Lord has for us. As we leave 2012, we should pay close attention to what the Apostle Paul said here. Let's go ahead and read this together in 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6. It says this, "Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you failed the test, and I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test." Life is a test. But you know what? We have a great source to go to. See, Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. So as you start pressing into the test of life, and as you're being shaped and by the trials and the struggles, Jesus is your source of life, source of strength, source of wisdom, your source of joy, your source of peace. But if you're not drawn near to Jesus, you're on your own. And that is a lonely, lonely place. And if Jesus is in you, and today, he wants to be in your life. He will carry you through. Amen. You know, I look at the circuses, and I love watching what these crazy people do in there. And I love, my favorite things to watch is the trapeze artist. Have you ever seen these guys? And, you know, they swing from one, and they let go, and they do these crazy things. And a lot of times with no nets below, and I'm thinking, they are psycho. And I love how they go from one and they have to let go. But can you imagine a trapeze artist who would just be on one bar and he would just swing back and forth, back and forth? That would be boring. I'm like, give me my money back. I'm done watching this guy go back and forth. The greatest thing is when he lets go of one and he's in midair and has faith that that next bar is going to be there and he's going to grab it with all of his might. See, some of us are living boring lives. You're just swinging back and forth, back and forth, on a stupid trapeze bar. And the Lord says, let go of that bar and take hold of what I have before you in the new bar. I got greater things for you. Are you willing to go for it? Are you willing to step out in faith? See, this was the time where as I walked through this process and the Lord says, you're going to Hawaii. We made the decision as we heard the Lord, but then as when the rubber hit the road, you're like, oh my goodness, what are we doing? We're moving to the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's an island where it takes you an hour to drive around, and then you drive around again, you know, and then you do it, and that's what you do, and, you know, and I got the whole mainland I was able to drive all around. Lord, what are you doing? And the Lord's like, are you going to trust me on this? Are you going to go for it? Are you going to sit on this one trapeze bar and never really fulfill the promises I have for you? See, God has promises for you in 2013, but don't let your life stay in 2012. The Lord has promises for all of us. Number two, I want to look at here. One, as we let go of the past, we need to grab hold of the future. Each new year is a representative thing. It represents to us there is a whole range of new opportunities for us, an unlimited chance to have a better life. Start it off right, church. Let's all step out in faith and do it right. Let's be with Jesus this year. Let's be, I'm going to say it out loud, radicals for Christ. Could you imagine if Jesus could use 12 dysfunctional guys to change the world? Man, he could use a room full of failures to do great things. Could you imagine? I mean, come on. This is incredible. What could happen in 2013 if we grab hold of the promises the Lord has for us. You know, it's amazing. People make predictions for the next year. Always. They're going to say, this is what's going to happen in the market, in the housing market. A lot of times with money and so on and so forth. You know, and thank God the Mayans were wrong, right? I mean, we're all here and, you know, I'm so thankful that prediction was wrong. And, you know, I wasn't sweating too much, but they were wrong. But I read this one prediction and they said that in the 21st century, technology would be so advanced that the world would not work more than 20 hours per week. Who would say that prediction's a little off? Anybody here? Okay. All right. Technology has sped everything up so much. We're all running around like we're on a Ferris wheel out of control. And you can't get off. And you're stuck. And guess what? The world is not going to slow down. So if we're going to live in this world, we better have a source of strength. We better be tapping into a true source, and that is Jesus. Because he'll never fail us. He'll never fail us. And I am so thankful. Could you just say the name Jesus out loud? Jesus. Let's say it one more time. Jesus. See, when I speak the name of Jesus, there's a peace that fills my heart. See, when I say the name James, it kind of stresses me out. It's like, oh, I start to shake, and, oh, man. But when I say Jesus, oh, there's a peace. There's a peace. So when you step out in faith and you call upon the name of Jesus, there's peace and there's power. There's power. In Ephesians 5, it's a good reminder what it says in verse 15 and 17. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Church, the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What the Lord's will is. We need to understand here is that our time is limited here on earth, and the Lord has a purpose for our life. Will we fulfill this in 2013? See, the Lord has given us an opportunity. He does not have plan B. We are plan A. That's it. He has no plan B. See, the Apostle Paul can be up in heaven right now, pacing like a crazy man, wanting to come back down to earth, thinking that the harvest field is just huge. But God's not letting him come back because he's depending on us. Yeah. There's nobody else. He's depending on us to fulfill his purpose here. Psalms 90:10 says this, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and fly away. You know, time flies for all. I look at my girls, I'm like, wow, they're just growing up so fast. It reminds me, you know, if teenagers, if they're in love, they could sit in a car, they could talk for an hour, and it feels like a minute. But to their parents, it feels like eternity for them to be in the car alone. All the parents say, yes, I understand, I understand. That's why all the dads have shotguns. Okay, good, okay. You know, as I look at my life, and if I live to the age of 75 years old, I have 12,090 days left of my life. You know, the crazy thing is I've already lived 14,475 days. So over half of my life is gone. What am I going to do with the rest of it? May I ask the same of you? What are you going to do with the rest of it? Make today a point, a pivot point in your life to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you with everything I have. So I'm not going to go to church alone. I'm going to bring a friend. I'm not going to let my family die and go to hell. I'm going to be the one that, God, you're going to use to reach. I'm going to serve as a Levite. I'm going to get in there and give my life away. I'm going to serve in the ark, and I'm going to love kids like no one's ever loved kids. Yeah. See, the Lord's calling us to step out into greater things, and he wants to overload our world through his love, through new hope, through new hope. Ecclesiastes 3 says this, and it reminds us, there is a time for everything. There's a time for everything that is done on earth. There's a time to be born and a time to die. I'll tell you, today, there's a time the Lord wants to do a new work in us, a new thing in chapter 2. 2013, I believe, and I can say this coming from an outside, now on the end, is going to be the best year that we have seen as a church through the first 18 years of our lives. I believe it. I believe it, and I stand strong on this, that the promises of the Lord are true, and amen. Amen? And so, let's look at number 3 here that we need to understand. I want to finish with this. That we are called to know that Jesus' will is for us. It's for us. His will is for us. It says here that in Paul was saying, to not be foolish, but to understand what the Lord's will is for your life. He wants to use you today, but say, I can't, I can't speak clearly, and I can't, I have no abilities. Yes, you do. Stop living in that mentality that you're nothing. If you are available for God, he's going to use you to do great and mighty things. I always say this, if God can use a donkey, he can use me. Amen? So today, know that God has a plan for your life. A plan for your life. As I look through this, and I look at God's plan, how does he want me to fulfill it? Well, real simple. I believe that 2013, we are all here in this room. He's calling all of us to become fat. Oh, no, no, James. I want to go on a diet. No, no, no. I'm not talking about fat. I'm talking about fat in my heart. Let me explain what fat means to you. Let's look at the F. Number one, God wants you to be faithful. Faithful. See, if we're not faithful, God can't use us. He wants us to be faithful in our love to him, faithful in our love to each other, faithful in our service. Yes, service. If you're not serving, I want to encourage you, serve. You'll never be fulfilled as a Christian until you start serving. Faithful in our giving. This is something where I believe in 2013, the Lord wants to use this church to be a blessing everywhere, because New Hope Family is the most generous church in the world because we're faithful in our giving. The last day one of the last days we were home, we went to my daughter's first grade class, and the whole class wanted to pray for us. They went to a Christian school, and we got in the class, and all the 20 kids got on their knees and they started praying for us. They laid their hands on us. It was the most powerful experience. My wife and I just started weeping because of these first graders praying over us. It was powerful. And afterwards, they all got done. We hugged them all. This one little girl came up to me and she said, Pastor, I'd never seen this girl in my life. Pastor, I have a gift for you. And she gave me a dime. She goes, I'm giving you my allowance. And I thought, wow. I said, no, don't give it to me. Why don't you give it to the missions? And no, she goes, no, God told me to give it to you. I still have that dime, and I won't ever let go of that dime. Because it reminded me of something here, is Lord, if a little girl can give me a dime, Lord, I give you everything of mine. Yeah. And I'm not going to let go and hold on. I'm not going to hold on to the things that I want. I want to let go of it and say, Lord, use it as you will. This is God's plan for us. Faithful. Second is, be available. See, God's not impressed with our ability. He gave it to you in the first place. He's impressed with your availability. Be available for God this year. And the third thing is, you must be teachable. When Pastor Wayne comes up here and he's talking about hardcore stuff or other speakers, and you're thinking, I don't like that, and you become rebellious, bitter, you walk out and say, I'm never coming back there. I don't want to talk about those things. That's archaic and it's not relevant for today. Well, the Word of God is relevant all the way through, from page 1 all the way to the very end in Revelation. It's relevant. And we need to allow God's Spirit to renew us so we're teachable, so that 2013 is a year of fulfillment. Amen? Yeah. Let's be fat this year. Fat. Turn to somebody next to you and say, let's get fat for Jesus. Let's get fat for Jesus. Now, don't twist that out on somebody, okay? Come on. Pastor told me I can get fat so I can eat anything I want. No, I did not. All right? So, let's be honest with each other. God's allowing us an opportunity to do evaluation of our hearts so that we can be available for him to do his purpose here on earth. His purpose here on earth. God wants to give you a chance to do a do-over. You look back at 2012 and say, oh, I missed it. Oh, I wish I would have. 2013 can be a year of no regrets. Let's live a life of no regrets in 2013. Let's trust in Jesus as we let go of that trapeze bar and we grab his hands on the other and say, Jesus, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. Let's be radicals for Jesus. Let's love this world the way Jesus did and does. Amen? Because he'll never fail you. Never, never fail you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day, and I pray for each and every person here today. Lord, I pray that we would be a church of no regrets, a church with great faith, that we would step out and trust you. Lord, I pray that each and every person right here, right now, would do an evaluation of their own hearts. And Lord, if 2012 is filled with failure and regrets and hurts and all, I pray that God, we would just let it stay there and that it would not infect the new chapter of our lives. I pray right now for every person here, Lord, as they would sit and allow your Spirit to do a new work in them. I pray, Lord, for all those who are here who don't have you, would first and foremost open their hearts to you, and so that they can have a do-over, a fresh start. If you're here today and you're sitting here and you want 2013 to be the best year of your life, open your heart to Jesus, because you can't do it without him. And it will not be the best year without Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for you. He gave his life so that you, me, were sinners, and that he can forgive us of our sins. There was a penalty that had to be paid for, and he paid it. And today he wants to give you a new life, a new start. Are you willing to step out in faith and let go of that trapeze bar of your past, your failures, your regrets, to embrace Jesus for who he is in your life, to ask him for forgiveness? Say, Jesus, I need a fresh start. I need a do-over. I want 2013 to count in my life. If that's you, open your heart to Jesus. Confess that you are a sinner, but today, his great sacrifice on the cross paid the price for your sin. And invite him into your heart right now and allow him to reside in your life. If that's you and you want to come to Jesus, or maybe come back to Christ, and you want 2013 to be the best year with Jesus, and you want to give him everything, starting with your life, and receive that forgiveness, if that's you, be bold. Let's not live and step into 2013 with regrets, but let's walk into 2013 with confidence and with power in Jesus. If that's you today and you want that relationship with Christ and you want to have that confidence that to 2013 you're going to walk with Jesus, that's you, just raise your hand. Say, James, I want that today. You're coming back to Christ. You're giving your life to Jesus. I see hands all over the place. Would everybody else just raise your hands real quick with them? Lift both hands all over the room. Lord, I pray for each and every person as we lift our hands to you and we join our brothers and sisters who are saying today, Jesus, I can't do it without you. I'm accepting you into my life. The prayer of our place right now. Empower us right now to do your will. Not to live with the regrets of the past, but Lord, we would move forward into the promises of today and tomorrow. And Lord, we would live like we're dying, and we would give everything to you. We thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.
In the first service, Pastor James was saying, any of you failed this last year, raise your hand. And everyone raised their hand. I was thinking about something else. I didn't raise my hand and looked at me and said, Wayne, why aren't you raising your hand? Didn't you fail? I said, I'm thinking. But we all fail. And even if you fail, here's the secret. You will fail. And it's okay, because we're human. Just don't be taken hostage by your failure. See, you can rise again unless you let that failure take you hostage. And then you give up. There's a big difference between us failing and us calling ourselves a failure. Once you do that, you've been taken hostage by that failure. So we all fail, but we're not failures. Isn't that right? You are a failure when you let that failure take you hostage to it, and then you're done. So the Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times, but what? Rises again. I only need one more solution than my problems. I only have to get up one more time, then I fall down, and we can move forward. At the end, we're going to have some pastors and prayer counselors up front. So if you ever want to talk about what Pastor James is saying about resentment, or, you know, because that's the only sin that has roots to it. You know that? There's a lot of sins mentioned in the Bible. Resentment's the only one that has roots. And if you say, I think I've got some roots, then there'll be pastors and some counselors up front. Just take some time to talk with them and let them pray for you. Okay? Let's stand. Oh, no. Wait a minute. We're going to take a second offering. Yeah. I can't forget that, you know. Really, this offering is for, as I said, the tent and some of the transitional things. We're putting up sheetrock. We're moving that back, some things that are taking place. So if everyone can give, even if it's a dime, like Pastor James was saying, everybody get something out of your wallet. So everybody take out your wallet. If you don't have one, take out your neighbor's wallet. And get something. Get something. If you don't have anything, James has some you can borrow. Just borrow something, all right? Everybody, even if it's a dime, because I want everyone to participate in this. That's what makes a church strong, is not like you have a millionaire here and a billionaire over there. It's everybody's involved. Everybody. Sometimes people say, well, Wayne, can't you just take some money out of the savings out of the church? Or, yeah, we could just diminish all of our savings and just kind of live on the edge. But at the same time, I think, no. We want to give everybody an opportunity to be involved in the growth, the movement of the church. Otherwise, we're pushing everybody aside, just kind of doing our thing. No. We've in this next season, one of the things God spoke to my heart was that everybody will be a part of this next season. Everybody's valuable. Everybody has a gift. Everybody gets to participate. And when they do that, God says, I will make this strong. So let's all be a part of that, all right? Lord Jesus, would you receive our offerings? Would you receive it, Lord, in our hearts that we all want to participate in this? Thank you, Father. Small, large, medium-sized gifts. Receive this from our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, ushers, if you would pass the buckets around. Don, would you put that in there? It's a $1,000 bill. Sure, check it out. Oh, he already put it in. You can't take it out. Yeah, all right. Hey, what James was saying also is very important. Some of you say, you know, I'm not a youth minister, but if you work with youth, you would be. Well, I'm not a children's minister, but if you help in the children's Sunday school, you can be. Did you know that it was a Sunday school teacher that spoke to D.L. Moody, won him to Christ, and he became one of the world's greatest evangelists? It was because of a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to have a bunch of ordinations or accolades to be a Sunday school teacher. And even if you say, you know, I'll do that once a month, or I'll do that every other week, or whatever it might be, go ahead and jump in. Let's all help. In fact, I was saying to some of the Levites, I said, what if we just, like ushers and greeters, you say, I can do the first Sunday of every month or the first Saturday of every month. That's it. And great. Then just do that the first Saturday. We need a bunch of parking attendants. So say, I'll do that the first Saturday. I'll come two Saturday services. The first service, I'll come and do the parking. And the second, I'll just sit in. Great. Whatever. Just once a month, and we can all do it. So if we can all participate, that'll just be super duper. Okay? Let's stand together as we conclude. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray your blessing on this congregation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let your countenance shine upon them. Go before them and give them peace as we approach this new year. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Thank him with a clap offering, would you? Thank you, Lord. We set our hope.
We set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. We set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God.
bless you. Give someone a hug on your way out, would you?
We say.